I want you to turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 29. We need to fight. We need to fight the devil. I want you to say, this is a scriptural way for your family and for us to fight the devil. You know, the only thing I know how, I can't win against the devil in my own flesh. My flesh will never beat the devil. As I watch the devil destroy people around me and devour them around me, as I'm seeing it, I only know one thing that I can do. Be a watchman on the wall and cry out and warn. That's all that I know how to do. And what I do know how to do from the Scriptures is to take the Word of God and to equip you to battle the devil. Because he's after your family. He wants to destroy it. He's not worried about somebody that's not doing anything for God. He already has them. He wants to take your family out. He wants to come for your family and destroy it. And what I'm saying to you is this, is that I'm going to take the sword of the Spirit. I'm going to put on the helmet of salvation and I'm going to fight him, and he's going to have to kill me first before he gets to my family. I'm not fighting in my own power. I'm going to take this and I'm going to fight him. And if he's going to try to take my family, I'm going to take that sword out and I'm going to stab him with it as much as I can. And I'm going to have to be dead first before he gets him. And I mean that by the grace of God. I don't mean that by any power in myself. I don't mean that by I'm not saying my flesh. I know I can't beat the devil, but I know what God said. I know what God promised for the victory in His Word. He promised it was there, but He promised it to those who fight. He promised it to those who fight. You're going to have to protect your family. You're going to have to realize there's actually an attack there. And you're going to have to understand that he'll use the weakest link. He'll use the one that thinks they're the strongest. He'll use your children. He wants to destroy their lives. That's what he wants. He wants to bring them down and he wants to completely destroy them. It's his goal. And he's very good at it. He's extremely good at it. So what I want to do is take the Word of God and try to equip you and just give you a few thoughts tonight of defending yourself with the Word of God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's what the Bible says. If you fight him with the Word of God, he'll run. You don't want to fight. He'll fight you in the flesh all day long and he'll whip you. But when you take out that sword of the Spirit, you don't want to fight with that. He leaves. But you and I have to apply that sword to our lives. It's got to be a part of everything we do. It's inventory check time. We got to go back through our families. We got to do an inventory check. And we got to see if there's any doors open that we need to close. And it's time to close the doors. It's time to give him no place. No room to get in. No place. So I want to talk to you about the children tonight a little bit. I want to try to give you some scriptural thoughts. You may do these things already. Good for you. I hope you do. Maybe this will be a refresher for you. Maybe it'll help somebody else out there that needs it. But it's the only way that I know how to fight the devil is with the Word of God. And I feel like fighting. I really do. Not in my own power, but with the Word of God, I feel like fighting. I feel I'm at war. I'm in a war. I'm not in a cupcake contest. I'm in a war. So you may not like a lot of things I say tonight or the way I say it, but that's never stopped me before. And it won't stop me now. Number one, I want you to think about something. I want you to think about your child's communication. Your child's communications should be monitored and questioned. What they say. How they say it. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 29. You ought to know what your children are talking about. Some of you, your children are so little, they don't have a lot to talk about yet. You know? They just kind of chirp and they don't really have a whole lot to say yet. That's good. But it's going to come. That day is going to come where they do have a lot to say. And they're going to keep talking. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 29. Now, this is a good principle for every single person in this room and under the sound of my voice. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Corrupt communication. We need to watch our children's communication, their speech, the way they communicate, the way they deal with people. If we sense the slightest bit of rebellion, it needs to be stamped out. If we sense in their tone the slightest bit of rebellion, then it needs to be dealt with immediately. Because now it's just a little squeal. Now it's just a little kick. Someday they'll be giving you the finger. Come on. When rebellion is not stamped out and dealt with, when it's not addressed, it gets worse. It grows. Look at Saul's rebellion. Saul first disobeyed the Lord, then what did he end up doing? Man, he ended up with a familiar spirit. He ended up in Satanism. Now, he started out just disobeying and having a little bit of, doing a little bit of disobeying, and that was bad enough, but then it just progressed. It got worse. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:24, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. There's some things that we have to watch that our children like to talk about that they really don't need to talk about. It's really foolishness is what it is, but they like to talk about it. And that kind of talk leads to worse things. It leads to perverseness. I think Brother Bicey said it was called potty talk. Is that what you call it, Brother Bicey? And I think it's very applicable for a young kid to understand, just talking about things that are not necessary. They get into talking. It leads into dirty stuff is what it leads into. I mean, if you're a boy, you kind of understand what I'm talking about. If you're a guy, I mean, I hope you can figure it out anyway. But that's the kind of things that they'll do, that boys will do, especially. I don't know about girls, but they'll do it. They'll say some things they shouldn't say because they're around the boys, and they start, you know, and we'll get to that in a little while here. But anyway, my point is that stuff needs to be stamped out. Why? Because it's an open door. Do you understand that? It's an open door for the devil to get in. I'm trying to think of that word that I'm looking for. Well, it lowers the guard, but it also, your defenses are down. You're acceptable to it. It's very acceptable to you. You know, it becomes to where it doesn't bother you that much. Right, it desensitizes, absolutely. That's what I was looking for, brother. It desensitizes. It's exactly what it does. Now, the more I see the devil working around me and trying to work in my house and other people's house, the more I'm getting fired up about it. I'm saying, you know what? I'm just gonna stamp it all out. Just gonna deal with it. No, no more of that. Don't talk like that. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Turn there, please. 1 Corinthians 15:33. By the way, as you think about all these things, don't get offended. Just get right. It's a whole lot easier to get right than it is to get offended. I'll tell you that right now. It really is. 1 Corinthians 15:33. There's a liberty in getting right with God. I mean, tell you, when you're wrong and you can admit you're wrong and then you get something right with God, boy, I'll tell you what, you feel like you could fly away. The weights come off, don't they? It's a beautiful thing to be forgiven. But I'll tell you what, you hold on to that, you let that thing drag you all the way to hell. It'll be so heavy on you. Just get it right and get it over with and get it out of your life. Amen. Call sin, sin. Don't play patty cake with sin. Just deal with it. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Oh. It's a good command. Evil communications corrupt good manners. It's very simple, isn't it? Now, why do you suppose he had to tell us not to be deceived? He's saying, well, don't let this slide. Okay? The Apostle Paul is saying, don't let this slide. You think it's not a big deal. It is a big deal. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupteth good manners. Don't be deceived. Deal with it. Take care of it. See, that's like the deception of alcohol. Alcohol is the same way. It's so deceiving. People just one sip won't do too much to me. One drink won't do too much to me. Why? That's the power in it. That's the power of deception that's in it. That's the same thing with sin or anything else. Evil communication is the same way. If we accept it, then it deceives us. And we go further into it. We allow it to grow. Now's the time with our children to deal with these things while they're young because we're trying to build character in them. I don't want my child to be like I was. I don't. I'm not being mean to my parents. I'm just telling you, I don't want them to be like that. I don't want them to know the things I know. I don't want it to be stuck in them like it is in me. I don't want them to be haunted with things like I am. I'm haunted by it. I don't want that for them. I want to deal with it. And it's my responsibility as a father to deal with it. It's your responsibility as the head of your home to deal with it. Quit you like men. Be strong. It's the responsibility of a mother to deal with it. Don't leave it uncorrected. Don't leave rebellion and outright disobedience uncorrected. That's going to lead somewhere. It's going to lead somewhere. Evil communications. This means that you and I must be able to, especially when our children are too young to discern things, that we should monitor their speech and the speech of their friends. Amen. So listen to what they're saying. And it's so easy for kids. You know, don't be shocked if one of the other kids says something that, you know, and you're saying, oh, they must be horrible parents. Well, no, maybe they don't even know he's saying it. Maybe this kid picked it up somewhere walking down the street. Heard it at the grocery store and just repeating it. He don't know what it is. That doesn't mean that parent's condoning that. Maybe he doesn't know. Maybe the parents don't even know they're saying that. And you overhear it or something. But we need to know what they're saying, what they're talking about. Why? Because we're directing them. We're supposed to be directing their lives. Hey, listen, it's work. I'm going to tell you something. It's a war to keep the devil out of your family. It's an absolute war. It's a war. It's a battlefield. The home is supposed to be the home is supposed to be strong, and it's supposed to be a place like the church that's clean when you come into it. It ought not have that dirtiness about it. Amen. We should be listening even among their siblings. There should be some monitoring of what's being said. Perverse talk or talk of things that is not to the use of edifying should be greatly reduced and stamped out. It shouldn't be allowed. I'm not talking about just joking or something. I'm talking about in a perverse way. You know what I'm talking about. It's very easy to understand those things. Evil communication corrupts good manners. You may be teaching them the right way, but another friend or an acquaintance may not be. Another may corrupt the good manners that you're teaching them. Maybe they don't even know. It can happen, believe me, to any one of us. We don't even know it. That's why you got to be able to handle that with grace as well when you deal with that. You don't look at somebody and say, oh man, you're just a terrible, you must be a terrible parent. What are you doing? Your kid said this. Man, you better think about some things. But I'll tell you what, the people that are worse about are the single people that don't have any kids. Because they already tell you how they're going to raise their kids. I mean, they know, I mean, their kid's never going to do that. Their kid ain't never going to throw one of them 2-year-old ball-eye baby fits either. Okay, whatever. I'll watch you throw that fit with them, but it's going to happen. I'm going to tell you. You'll be the one throwing the fit, trying to get them on. Oh, man, everybody's watching this. No, we already seen it all. We understand. Yeah, no big deal. I just kind of wait for which 2-year-old's going to blow up. That's what I do. No, I'm standing up here preaching. I'm like, well, it was mine last week. Probably Brother Lee's time. One of them's going to blow up here in a second. Oh, look, Brother Joe back there. It's his turn. Yeah, he's got one there. I mean, there's 25 kids here. What do you expect? Somebody's going to blow up. You're going to have one of them 2-year-old blow-ups. It's going to happen. I mean, if any of you are shocked by that, only the single people are. They're the ones that go home and say, we'll fix them kids, man. My kid's not going to do that. Never. No, it won't ever. You just have one, buddy. I can't wait. Amen? That's what you think, though, isn't it? Not my kid. Oh, no, my kid. And then some. Especially if you have a girl. You'll really see it. Hey, I got 3 of them, all right? I know. Whew. Sometimes boys can hide their rebellion a little bit easier. Girls, a lot of times, they just wear it right on their sleeve. Here it is. I'm doing it anyway. This is true. I mean, this is real stuff, folks. This is real. We got to deal with it, but it's real. We got to deal with evil communication. We got to deal with these things, but it's real. But no one should have some kind of pharisaical attitude towards it. I mean, we're here to edify and to help one another. We're not here to tear people down. If you got a spirit to tear somebody down with it, you need to get right with God. Because I hate to break it to you, but there ain't a perfect dad in this room. I mean, the Holy Ghost of God, God the Father, He's the perfect one. I'm talking about us. There ain't a perfect dad. There ain't a perfect mom. Amen. Boy, I didn't get too many amens from the men there. Those are perfect dads here. I'm just kidding you. Anyway, we got to guard our children's ears, though, from perverse things. That's why we shot up all those Hollywood movies. Well, they won't hear it there. Kind of nice to do that. Oh, come on, that's not that big of a deal. You didn't turn out that bad. Oh, yeah, I did. And I got it all stuck in my head now. I don't want it stuck in theirs. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you because I know what the devil wants to do. He wants to destroy your family. I watched him do it. It's 2 pastors right now. I'm watching it. I'm watching everything self-destruct. Now, I'm not blaming them for it. I'm not saying it's their fault. I'm just telling you. I'm trying to do what I can. The only way I can battle the devil is through prayer and through the sword. And I'm trying to equip you to use that sword. That's it. That's all I'm doing. That's all I can do. And pray and pray and pray. If perverse talk and things like that is not punished, it leads to worse perverse things. It starts with thoughts and the tongue speaks and then perverseness comes after. It needs to be dealt with swiftly. Amen. It can't go unchecked. You'll lose their hearts because their manners have been corrupted. All right, next. Children should never see nakedness. It brings a curse and it breaks the law of God. They should never see nakedness. They don't need to see that. Now, I realize sometimes things happen in family that are uncontrollable, you know. Well, really nothing you can do about it. I mean, you know, when they're babies and such and stuff like that. I'm not talking about that, but you know what I'm talking about. Once they have an old enough that conscience, they understand some things. I mean, there's some things that you need to be careful. Genesis chapter 9 and verse number 21. He drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his 2 brethren without. What did he do? Cursed be Canaan. Somebody was cursed over seeing some nakedness. But what's the law say about that? You don't have to turn there because I'm going to keep moving on here. But the law is very clear about this in Exodus chapter 20, verse 26. Neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. It's that staggering steps. They weren't allowed to have that because nakedness would be shown. And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness from the loins, even unto the thighs they shall reach. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. The nakedness of thy father, the nakedness of thy mother shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. I realize that can go further than what we're talking about. I'm not heading in that direction, but you understand what I mean. Very clear. We've got to be careful about that. Why? Because we open things up that they don't need to open. You know, once you open that package up, it's open. You understand that? It's open. I'm not saying we're all perfect at it, because I know things can happen. I'm just telling you. You got to take care of that. You got to be wise. We're trying to teach them decency and modesty. Amen. I realize, you know, your father, your mother, you're going to take the kid's potty, you're going to do all that kind of stuff. I'm not talking about that. You understand what I mean. The siblings. You need to be careful. You need to be cautious. Amen. You don't want to wake things up. We want that to stay asleep. It's going to wake up someday. We want to keep it asleep as long as we can. Amen? You understand that? It leads to things, folks. It messes with the brain. It messes with the heart. It, if mine eye affecteth my heart. It's a Bible principle to live by. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, to the daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. It's a Bible principle to live by. We should teach our children simple principles of modesty. It ought to mean something to them. Their bodies ought to mean something like that. It ought to be important. They ought to understand that. If it was so important to God that those two run around the garden naked and they sewed themselves some bikinis, and they did, that's what they did. They sewed themselves some bikinis. And God said, no, you're naked. I'm going to clothe you. And he clothed them. Amen? He clothed them. He covered them. Why? Because God didn't want to see it either. Amen? He covered them. One of those principles you can teach your children, I'm sure you already do, but one of those principles that I thought about in my own house, and just, you know how kids are sometimes, you teach them to knock first at any door. Always. Always. Knock first. Wait for an answer. If you don't get an answer, or there's nobody there, and you know there's nobody in there, then obviously you can try to open the door. But if you get an answer, and it's no, then you walk away from the door. You say, come on, are you really preaching about this? Yes, I am. That may seem remedial to you, but it's not when you have four kids running around. Amen? You got kids running around everywhere. You know what it's like. You got to teach them respect. When a door is closed, son, it's closed for a reason. So you don't go in. I don't want you on the other side of that door. If I wanted you on the other side of that door, it'd be open. It's closed for a reason. Little kids do that all the time. The bathroom, man, they'll just barge right in that bathroom door. Right? They do it. What do you got to teach them? Respect, modesty. No, son, daughter, the door is closed for a reason. When a door is closed, you knock on it. Even Jesus Christ in Revelation stood at the door and knocked. Think about it. Now, we're to teach them respect. You want them going to one of your friend's house, or we fellowship in somebody's house, and they just barge in the bathroom door when somebody's there? No, you don't want that. Amen. Now, if this seems too simple, listen, I understand what it does to a conscience. Okay, I know that. I know what images do to consciences, and I understand what that does forever. And you can't get rid of that. It doesn't go away. It stays in the mind. He said, this is just too practical stuff. Well, maybe it is. And maybe it isn't going to help you. But I believe the Lord wants me to say it, so I am. I believe it will help you. I believe it will help you teach our children respect. I don't care if they live in, yeah, it's your house and they're your child, but they have no right just to barge in and open a door. They have no right to do that. You don't do it. And you know what? You knock on their door too. They might be getting dressed. Well, it's my house. Yeah, but are you teaching? Remember, teaching is proactive. I'm teaching. So what am I teaching them? Respect. Well, it's my house. Yeah, of course it's your house. But you know what? You're trying to teach them modesty and decency. So you knock on their door and say, hey, can I come in? You know, maybe they're getting dressed. You got to teach them, you show them respect. You want them to respect their bodies. You want them to be modest. You want them to know that and learn that. Does that make sense? It's teaching them respect. The same respect that you want, you're teaching it to them. Why? Because it's important that they understand that, hey, Dad does the same thing when he knocks on my door. Hey, Dad. Hey, son. I come in. You know? I mean, obviously, if it's a disciplinary issue, that's another story. But you know what I mean. You know what I'm talking about. It's respect. It's teaching them that, you know what? That's your body God gave you. It's saved for one person someday. And you know what? That's, we want you to be covered. And this is decency. This is what's right. This is what God wants us to do. What are you teaching them? You just don't go opening doors everywhere. Because I'm going to tell you something, friend. You might be somewhere sometime and your child might open a door and see something on the other side of the door they should never see. And that's stuck in their image forever. You teach them one simple principle of, and wait for an answer. Don't come in. Okay. And then you walk away. Or okay, you can come in. It's respect. It's decency. It's keeping their conscience clear. Again, I the Lord just gave me this afternoon. I just put this together half asleep and fallen over. I feel like I have energy now. The Lord's really helped me here. But praise the Lord. God's really helped me here. We should respect them, though, and we should teach them that. We teach them that decency. We teach them that modesty. It goes a long way in their life. I mean, does that make sense? I hope it does. I hope, and it also puts some order in the home. So there's just not kids running around open doors everywhere. Then there's no privacy for anyone. And there should be. There should be. It should be that way. I mean, if somebody's got to change, they go change in the bathroom. You got kids that share bedrooms, all that kind of stuff. You got to do things. I understand that. But you know what? You teach them that decency. You teach them that. That this is what God gave you, and this is how we do things. It's the right way to do it. Amen. If it wasn't important, God wouldn't have put it in His book, would He? That you're not to uncover that, you're not to see that. Amen. Makes sense, doesn't it? I never understood this growing desire for these ladies that are nursing out there. That they're mad because they don't want to use any nursing shawl or anything, and they feel like they can just. Do you know what I mean? And they're out there trying to fight that right now, like it's, oh, I'm standing up for nursing. No, I mean come on, I got a kid. No. Why don't you be decent, okay? Be decent. Whatever happened to decency? I don't know, just some thoughts. I don't know, maybe you think I'm crazy. I don't know. Again, that's the only way I know how to fight is to take this and fight, and I want to fight, and this is it. This is the only way to fight the devil, is try to equip you. Anyway, we don't want their eyes to behold strange things. They're just principles that we could all live by and teach, and I think your children will grow from it. Next, they need to be taught it's not good for a man to touch a woman. Amen. Even at a young age. Why? Because it's a Bible principle. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. So important that the Apostle Paul made sure you understood it. Amen. So I don't want my son learning that. Well, if he knows how to read the Bible, he'll pick it up real quick. And yes, you do want him to learn that. You do want him to understand that. You do want him to understand this is the, you know, in America today, here's what everybody's taught. The sexes are the same. You're just a female boy, and she's just a male girl. I mean, you're all the same. Everybody's just the same. I mean, you got these transvestite, devil possessed freaks going out, and they're going into and they want to go to the bathroom with your children at a school. Well, not our children, because we don't take them to the public school. But that's what they want to do. They want to walk right in there. So they want to. Yeah. They want to go into the girls. If they're boys that turn themselves into girls, they want to go into the girls. They just want to walk straight in there. Yeah, they want both, right? They want to be able to go to either one. So they're drawing court cases and everything up for this. It's just stupid. But anyway, it's devilish, and that's what they want to do. Why? Destroy the sexes. That's what it's about. It's about destroying the sexes. So your son doesn't understand the difference anymore. Why? Well, then it don't matter if you're a queer then, because you're a fruit. It won't matter if you're a fruit anymore. Yeah, fruit. Won't matter if you're one of those. Yeah. Say that loud enough? I said that very clearly. Yeah. Did you catch that? Yeah, exactly. It won't matter anymore. Why? Because it doesn't matter. They're all there. We're just, this is what we are. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 1. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. I'm going to be real clear to you, kids. Here's how this works. In God's Word, there's no such thing as girlfriends and boyfriends. They're not in there. Now, I had girlfriends, and I did bad stuff. And I had to repent of that, and I got saved. Because that's the point of having a girlfriend. It's for fornication. That's what it's for. That's all it's for. At least that's all a guy knows it's for. You can try to deny it, but you'd be lying. That's like one preacher I heard him say at this meeting. It was so funny. He goes, man, brother, he goes, I'm too much of a man to go to the beach. He said, I'm too much of a man to go to the beach. I can't go. He said, I can't do it. I can't go. I agree with him. I'm the same way. I'm just real. I'm too much of a man to go there. No, I can't go there. I don't have enough of feminine in me to go to a beach. Do you? No, you don't, do you? Anyway, the Bible is very clear here. That a courtship or anything else is for marriage. If a man doesn't want to get married, then what does he want? That's all it's for. So you don't believe in dating? Absolutely not. It's wicked. It's wicked. It's absolutely wicked. It's not in the Bible either, by the way. Now, there's courtship. But Brother Russ and I are going to be putting together a booklet on that real soon, on headship and everything. And by the way, that's done through the Father. That's not done through you. You just don't go walk up to some man's daughter and say, well, I'm interested in you, and just start. Why? Because that daughter is his. Don't think so? Wait till she turns 18. She'll be yours. When somebody usurps your authority, goes around you, and then tries to date your daughter. Now, hopefully you've trained your daughter well enough. She says, no, you have to talk to my father about that. That's the way it's supposed to be. Why? Because women are silly. I'm not being mean. They're silly. They can be fooled very easily. And their hearts can be played with very easily. The Bible is very clear here, though, that we need to teach our children as well at a young age that they understand something. You know, you might be wrestling around with your brother. I mean, when they get older. Man. You might be wrestling around with your brother, but your sister's not your brother. She's a girl. We don't do that. We don't hit girls. We treat them differently. We treat them differently. Why? Because they are different. There's been many a young man that has abused his sisters and grew up to abuse his wife. That would get violently angry at his sisters. That would get violently angry with his sisters and then do the same thing with his wife. Why? Because he doesn't understand the difference, and he didn't have a dad say, you know, you don't do that to your sister. She's not your brother. She's a lady. Don't do that. There's a difference. They need to understand the difference that God made them male and female. No matter what the U.S. government and the feminist movement tries to push them back together, they ain't going back together. They're separate. They're different. They're not the same. Our children need to understand that. Now that principle of not touching and fornication and that can be taught at a simple level like it is right now. I'm not being specific. I'm being very general. I don't plan on being specific. It's very general. If this is too specific, then you must not have had any talks with your children at all about anything. It sounds like you're the one that needs to teach. Don't get mad at me, because this is extremely, extremely general. Anyway, we'll talk about this more when we get into the principles of headship. This is going to matter. When the Bible talks about let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband, the wife hath not power over her own body, but the husband, and likewise also, and we're not going to get into that, but that's the direction that that'll head when we cover that topic. They should be taught that you don't touch a girl like you do a boy. You don't do those things. They're different, and it should be swiftly dealt with when it's improper. And because the kid don't think nothing, okay? He's not thinking anything. He's not thinking evil. He has no evil intentions. But the more something goes on and is allowed to go on, stuff kicks in. Don't believe me? Touch your wife's arm. It does something. Just a touch. Amen. That's why it's not good for a man to touch a woman. Yeah, the girls want to be in the wrestling team with the boys. I've seen that, yeah. Oh, and that poor dude that lost to that girl. Man, I wouldn't lose to that girl. I'd be like, I ain't losing to you, lady. No, I'm just kidding. That's a joke. I'm just kidding. He didn't want to touch her. The one kid was a Christian. He said, I'm not doing it. I'm not wrestling this girl. I'll forfeit. He forfeited because he said, I'm not going to touch her. I don't blame him. Good for him. She probably would have beat him anyway. She was tough. Yeah, just kidding. But by the way, that's just so you know, if I make anybody mad, that's very improper for a girl to do that. There's nothing feminine about having a girl go wrestle like that. It's disgusting, just so you know. It's absolutely gross. Now, if you want to teach your child how to protect herself, and there's ways to do that. But to have your daughter rolling around a mat like that, that's like mud wrestling. It's pretty gross. God made her a lady. Why don't you keep her that way? That'd be okay, wouldn't it? And then get out there and wrestle around with your son. You know? That's right. But they need to be taught these things. I know this is very simple stuff, but I want you to think about it because it matters. It equips you and it matters to protect you against some things. So you're aware of them. You're aware of when boundaries get crossed. Your children and my children, they have to have boundaries. They have to understand that you don't cross those boundaries. You don't have to accuse them and get into a situation where you're making them feel like, man, what's wrong with me? No, it's not that. It isn't about that. Just be cautious. Be careful. Talk to them. Explain the difference. With this teaching right here of 1 Corinthians 7, you can take care of a lot of that. The authority is the scriptures. That's the authority. Keep it simple. Don't get in deep with things. You don't have to. Just keep it simple and explain it. Explain the differences and raise them differently. They're different. They're not the same. Don't raise them like boys. Don't raise your girls like boys. It's wicked. I don't mean they can't learn some things and, you know, shoot and all that kind of stuff and be, they can do all that. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. The point is that they understand the difference. And they're acting like ladies, not like female boys. By the way, a father and a mother should show proper affection as well to each other. Your children should see that. They should understand that mom and dad have affection one toward another. They should see that. That's not wrong. You don't have to go overboard. I mean, you don't have to be stupid about it, you know. But they ought to see affection. Why? They ought to know you love their mother. Amen. They ought to know mom loves dad. They ought to see that. Why? That's natural affection. And at the same time, dad and mom ought to have that same affection for the children. Why? That helps keep them normal. It doesn't. A child that never gets any love or hugs from their mother, their father, they turn out weird. They just turn out to be sociopaths, most of them. And they join the military and kill people. Or shoot up Navy bases because they're CIA operatives. Anyway, but that's another story. That dig will make somebody mad, too, that heard that. I hope so. By the way, a husband should love his wife like Christ loved the church. We don't understand that. Next, children should not be left for long periods of time unsupervised. You're asking for trouble. You're going to get it, too. The devil will creep in there. Your children should not just be left. You know, I mean, they shouldn't all be playing with rooms with doors closed for long periods of time. No. Don't do that. In our house, they got to keep the door open. You know, the door's open. Even when visitors come over, the door, keep the door open. I have kids, they like to shut it all the time. They'll shut the door, you go back. No, keep that door open. Why? Because that's just the way it needs to be. There needs to be supervision. You need to look in on them and see what they're doing. Right? Kids can be listen, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. It's there. It's bound up in there. I mean, you don't have to teach your son how to be foolish, right? You understand that, right? You don't have to teach him that. It's already in him. Amen. It is. That's why the Bible says that. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. You don't have to teach them to do something foolish. They already know how. It's bound up in their heart. It's there. So the rod of correction driveth it far from him. But that, by the way, that's not just a rod like people think of, like a spanking, okay? That's not... The rod of correction is this. I'm not saying it's not that, but I'm saying it's this. This is that main rod of correction as well. It's not just a rod there. This is the rod, amen. This will do the correcting as well. It needs to be that too, but it needs to be with this. They need to understand this. They need to understand there's rules. They need to understand that. Children, the Bible says the rod and reproof give wisdom. Reproof, what is that? Do you understand what that is, that reproof? That reproof is you taking the Word of God and reproving your children to their face and explaining to them that they've wronged God and they've broken God's law. And they've broken your rules. But your rules are this. Not extra rules, you know, outside of the scriptures. Well, you don't obey those kind of rules. So they ought to be this. But that would take you actually knowing this and studying this. And it's so much easier just to get mad and start yelling than learning the scriptures and teaching them where they've been wrong. Amen. But anyway, it says, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Child left with no supervision, mom not paying attention to what they're doing, mom not watching out for them and seeing, or the father not watching out for them and seeing what they're doing, making sure they understand, not instructing them, not correcting them, and just letting things go. I don't care if you're standing in their room, if you're letting their disobedience go, then what you and I are doing is we're leaving them to themselves. Remember, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, so you're leaving them a fool. By not correcting your child for their actions, by not reproving their actions, you're leaving them a fool. You're saying, I'm okay with you being a fool. I'm okay if I raise a fool. I'm okay with that. If you and I don't deal with things. That's what we're saying. We have to be proactive. It's work. It's a war. It's work. It's a war against the devil, and it takes work. And we can't be lazy. And it's so easy to be lazy. It's so easy. I know. It's easy. It's easy to let things slide. Let it go. Right? It's easy. But you're failing God. And you're failing them. And we are failing God when we do that. And we're giving the devil a foot into the door. Because he's going to take that foolishness and that rebellion and he's going to use it. And it's going to bring you sorrow one day. Because there's no guidance or training. He's not being taught. He's not learning anything. Children must be trained. We cannot just allow them to grow up. They'll grow. I mean, they get bigger. They'll just grow and they'll get bigger. And then they'll be bigger fools. You know what? When you got a little fool like this size, I'm not calling anybody a fool. I'm just giving it as an example. When you have a little fool this size and then you work that foolishness out of them, then they grow up and they're productive. But if you leave that in there, then you get a big fool one day. You know, it's a lot easier to deal with a little bit of foolishness down here than to deal with an 18-year-old fool who's going to do whatever he wants to do or whatever she wants to do, who runs away out of your house, who leaves you and loses their purity in the backseat of a vehicle. Because it happens all the time. All the time. Leaving them alone is not just leaving them home alone. It's leaving them without instruction and guidance. Or leaving them without supervision as well. By the way, we need to talk to them and ask them questions. Find out if you have their heart. You gotta ask them questions. Just ask them. Ask them things. Find out what's in there. Find out if there's a root of bitterness in there by asking them. Ask them. Ask them questions about things. Find out where they, how they talk to you and how they answer things. Boy, that's going to tell you a lot about what's in there and what you need to work on and deal with. By the way, that command, my son, give me thine heart, that's a command of God. You're to have the heart of that child. Raising children is watching and guarding and fighting for them. You understand that? We have to fight for our families. We're soldiers with armor, and that armor is not just for looking cool. It's not just for having as a novelty at your home, the sword, and never using it. Never applying it to everyday life. It's important. We have an enemy. Your family has an enemy. And I watched two families destroyed. I'm watching families be destroyed. And I'm saying, I'm not saying that anything I'm saying tonight could have prevented that. What I'm saying to you is that this can equip you and help you though. If you'll start to think like Bible, like a Bible Christian, you'll look at the Word of God. Listen, we have an enemy out there. He wants to creep into your home and destroy your family. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, your enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Don't you get it? He's looking for a way into your family. He's looking for a way into your home. He's looking for a way to ruin you and to bring you down. He's looking to destroy you. That's why everybody thinks it's a cakewalk. Their Christian life is like they go to church. The preacher says a bunch of nice things. I'm talking about Baptists too. They preach a little fluffy message. They go home and they don't feel any different. They feel good and they go eat their dinner and they're at home by 12:15. And they're eating their dinner and they feel like they've done something for Jesus. They've never been moved. They've never been reproved of their sin. No preacher ever took the Word of God and got it right into their face, reproved them to their face through the preaching of God's Word. Didn't do nothing to them. In fact, they'll even admit it to you. Nothing changes. I just go into church and he preaches the gospel every Sunday and I've heard it for 30 years and I still attend this church and nothing happens. Nobody grows. Nobody's convicted. Nobody gets sin out of their life. Nothing changes. Go home, watch some TV before the next service, go into the next service, sit there and do the same thing and go home. Eat some pie and go to bed. Nothing changed. Never reproved, never rebuked. Because it's a cakewalk. They don't realize it's a war. And the devil wants your kids. It says here, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Resist him steadfast in the faith. It's the only way we can fight him, folks, is with this and with prayer. That's it. That's the only way you can fight the devil. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. That resist means to war with. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You fight him. You just take the word of God out and you fight him. He'll get out. He'll leave. You don't want him doing that. What is that saying? It's saying you take this and you apply it to your family where there's problems. He'll leave. He'll take off. Why? Because he can't fight God's word. He can fight you all day long. He can destroy you. He can play with your mind. He can make you think you're not saved. You'll go round in circles with the devil. Boy, he'll have you in your head. He'll have you like a squirrel in a cage just rolling around. And you'll be thinking, I'm not saved. 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 You'll be rolling around wasting your time. He can do that. He can play so many mind games with you. And you let him do it. Well, you just take that word of God out and you just start reading the word of God. And he's going, okay, I'm out of here. This ain't fun anymore. I don't like this anymore. You want to know why you have all those problems? Because you don't use this. You use your own mental stamina. And compared to the devil, you're a mental midget. And so am I. We're a bunch of mental midgets. You use your emotions. And he mocks them and he uses your flesh against you. But if you take out this book, and you just start reading it and you just start applying it to the areas of your life that need fixed, you'll find out things will change. Why? Because this is the only thing that has any power. This is it, friend. This. Not you. Not your own steadfastness. What did he say? He said, steadfast in the faith. That's how you resist him. Steadfast in the faith. I'm going to tell you something. The devil's coming for your children. He's coming for my children too. He wants them. But he's going to have to get through the sword of the Lord. This first. Because I'm going to fight him with everything in me with God's word before I let him have my family. Or my testimony or my life. I can't fight him in my own flesh. I'll lose. If I play his game, I'll lose. But if I take that sword out and I apply it to every area of my life and I obey God and I use it to stab him and to fight him, he'll flee because he can't handle God's word. He'll leave you alone. If you'll immerse your life in this book, this King James Bible, if you'll immerse your life in it in every area of your life and get it a part of your life, he'll leave you alone. He'll stay away from you. Why? Because he loses his power when this comes around. Because this is the only thing that you have to fight with. This and prayer. Old Peter knew, didn't he? He learned some lessons, didn't he, along the way. Peter lost to the devil a few times, didn't he? Oh, I won't deny thee, God. Peter was strong and steadfast in his flesh. I won't deny thee, God. I'll win. I won't deny thee, Jesus. I'll never do that. I'll follow you anywhere. Well, it wasn't but a few minutes, and old Peter was beat up already, wasn't he? So Peter went through some scrapes and learned a few things. And he learned to rely upon God and his word. And that's why Peter said, your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion. That's why Peter said that. Don't you understand that? Peter wasn't saying that just solely for your benefit. He was in the inspiration of the scriptures, obviously. But what he was saying it for is because, hey, I've been there. He was a roaring lion. He came around me and he devoured me a few times. He got me. Boy, I took out God's word and I resisted him steadfast in the faith and he left. He don't want to play with that. Matthew 4:4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You want to protect your family? You want to guard your family? This book, read, studied, and applied to every area of your life as your rule of faith and practice of how you live your life, this book will protect your family. That's upon the authority of the Scriptures that God promised. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. His might, not your own. You want to protect your family? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. His treachery. He's a treacherous foe. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's a spiritual battle. We can't let the devil in. We've got to keep him out. We've got to use that sword to keep him out. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. What's that saying? Those four things. That fourth kingdom is coming. That's why you're seeing all these people falling. Antichrist and his spirit is alive and well, and it's working. And it's just plucking people off. Plucking them off. Because the power of the Antichrist is rising. That spirit, that mystery of iniquity is rising. He says, knowing this, that you have this battle, this war that you have, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. It's going to take faith. I'll be honest with you, when I hear about these people, these preachers falling, it scares me half to death. It does. I could be like every other preacher and tell you, no, I don't think that'll ever happen to me. Those are the guys it happens to. Because they didn't think it ever happened to them. Oh, I fully know the devil's capable of it. I fully know my flesh is if I walk in it. And if I leave too many open doors, he'll walk through one of them. Amen. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Your weapon. It's your only weapon against that fourth kingdom. It's your only weapon against that spiritual, that Antichrist. You know, I get a little sick and tired of people whining about things when they won't even open up their Bible and let God deal with them. How can you expect to fight a spiritual battle when you don't even use the spiritual weapon that you've been given? It's kind of like a soldier going out and he leaves his sword and he goes out to the field to fight. And he gets slaughtered and he's standing around, you know, and he's lame and he's going to die. And what happened? What do you mean what happened? You left your sword. You left your sword. Why are so many Christian soldiers leaving their sword and not using it every day? Not applying it to their lives every day? Not allowing God to deal with them every day? Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and above all, taking the shield of faith, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying! By the way, we need to take a half an hour every Sunday and pray from now on. We need it. Men, we're going to pray together for half an hour every Sunday. We're also going to have once a week where the men have a meeting that afternoon service over there, so we can talk about things. There's not enough communication in the body. You know, when you have a problem come up, I don't know about it. Your brother doesn't know about it. Yeah, I'm not saying you have to tell us everything that goes on, but we ought to be able to communicate one with another. And we ought to know, hey, if you're struggling with something, or you need prayer for something, or something's going on, we ought to be able to come together and pray about that. But if we don't know it, we can't pray for each other. So we're going to meet once a month like we used to in an afternoon service, and that, and we're going to meet together. Ladies will meet over here, but we'll go meet and we'll talk and we'll communicate. But every week we're going to pray for half an hour. Anyway, we need it. We need the prayer. You need it for your life. The devil wants to destroy this church. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to bring it down. And we can't allow it to happen. The only way we're going to get the victory is the Word of God and prayer. The devil's after your family. I intend to fight for mine. Until I'm dead, I'm going to fight. But I'm not going to fight with my flesh. I'm going to fight with the Word of God. Father, thank you so much. Lord, I hope this helps somebody. It helped me, Lord, if it didn't help anybody else. Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to fight. Help us to get in that spiritual battle. Take that sword out and battle and fight the devil with the Word of God, the King James Bible. Dear God, help us. We need you. Lord, people are falling all over the place. Help us, Lord. I'm not ashamed to admit today, Lord, I cried like a baby over this. And I said, Lord, I need you just to hold me. I need you just to hold me. I can't even hold myself up, Lord. I need you to hold me. There's nothing in me, Lord, that has any strength to fight. I need you to hold me and cradle me in your arms and take care of me. I'm not ashamed to admit that, Lord. Help us, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.